In this edition of Clinical Review, I'd like to discuss some of the principles associated with gaining lean mass as an ectomorph, otherwise known as a hard gainer. Somatotyping is a system of classifying human physical types and body shape developed by American psychologist William Sheldon and revealed in his book, The Atlas of Man. Human beings are categorized by a natural, genetically predetermined body build, appearance, and temperament. Sheldon wanted to help resolve the age-old question of whether our body type was connected with the way we acted. By exploring the link between body and temperament and interviewing hundreds of people, he searched for clues and tried to find traits which could describe the basic elements of their behavior. He found that there were three basic components of body type that stood out, which he named endomorph, mesomorph, and ectomorph. According to Sheldon, everyone has three elements in their bodily makeup, just as we all have digestive, circulatory, and nervous systems. Each person has components and characteristics of an endomorph, mesomorph, and ectomorph, but we have these components in varying degrees. Sheldon evaluated the degree a component was present on a scale ranging from 1 to 7, with 1 as the minimum and 7 as the maximum. We all have the makings of each body type, but in general, certain characteristics of our genetic size, cellular makeup, and body shape tend to dominate, thus creating a visual contrast controlled by unique biochemical, thermogenic, enzymatic, neurological, and hormonal release sequence patterns. In essence, the endomorph is round, corpulent, and pear-shaped. Arms are shorter and legs have large bones. The mesomorph is broad-shouldered, thick-chested, narrow-waisted, lean, and muscular. And finally, there's the ectomorph. The ectomorph is slim and linear, small-boned, has long arms and a long, thin neck. Most of the North American population by nature display endomorphic characteristics, thus explaining in part the widespread incidence of obesity. Endomorphs love carbohydrates and are ruled by emotions connected to the pleasure and opiate-like sensation of eating sugar and starch. The monkey on their back enjoys tempting them incessantly with mental images and signals borrowed from memory chips in the brain that stir attraction to smooth, chewy, crunchy foods loaded with sugar and fat. Work, sleep, and fitness only serve as temporary distractions from their constant craving. Then there's the ectomorph. We all know them, the people who can't gain weight no matter how much food they eat. In fact, they're often mentioned in conversation as a phenomenon because it's like a spectacle to watch someone gulp down food endlessly without packing it on or showing any outward physical evidence of the feat. Ectomorphs are slender, lean, and long, and secretly, many endomorphs hate them for it. They tend to miss meals, they stop eating under stress, and very seldom do they have a sweet tooth. Their monkey plays with their mind and says things like, "You're so skinny, you look like a toothpick," or "You're less of a man or woman, literally," the ultimate effect of which often works to lower their self-esteem. An ectomorph with a concave chest can be just as terrified, sensitive, or shy about revealing their physique at a public swimming pool as an endomorph who shudders at the thought of someone catching a glimpse of their rear-end reality or cottage cheese thighs. For the true ectomorph or hard gainer, the two most important limiting factors that prevent normal weight gain and muscular development are metabolism and appetite. Metabolic rate is governed by genetics, but through training, science, and nutrition, it is possible to calm things down in the same way we can speed things up for the endomorph. Food must be consumed according to the clock, not according to latent hunger caused by not eating for an entire afternoon or full day. Hard gainers actually waste a significant amount of energy from food thermogenically through a process called futile cycling. This is a phenomenon where calories are literally wasted in the form of heat by uncoupling them before they are converted into usable energy and then converted into matter. Demand for energy is high due to basal metabolic demands, so high in fact that hard gainers seldom experience the satisfaction of building larger muscles as a consequence of training. A poor appetite doesn't help matters. The apostat is a mechanism in the brain that dictates the amount of food consumed before feelings of satiety arrive. As we know, everyone's appetite varies, and the appetite and minor emphasis on food observed in the ectomorphic model doesn't make the objective of gaining lean mass any easier. You can't build something out of nothing. The physiological characteristics unique to the ectomorph, somatotype, are fascinating. This body type typically cannot gain weight no matter how much food they eat or how hard they train. Over time, after spending months in the gym and training often incorrectly, the accretion of mass is viewed as an impossible task, a fleeting fancy. The metabolic rate of an ectomorph is driven by the chemistry of the brain and uncoupling proteins that allow energy to escape through proton channels in the inner mitochondrial membrane of cells. Overexpression of human uncoupling protein 3, or UCP3, produces a marked reduction in body weight and body fat, suggesting that enhancement of UCP3 expression or stimulation of its activity is a normal function of ectomorphic physiology. Evidence continues to accumulate indicating that the genetic upregulation of various uncoupling proteins reduces excessive adiposity. This is why there's a big focus on designing drugs and supplements that can genetically influence uncoupling proteins to help the masses lose body fat. But in this case, we want to change that because that's part of the reason why an ectomorph can't gain size when they train with weights. Or it makes it more difficult anyway. A single exact mechanism that describes the relationship between the effects and production of excitatory neurotransmitters, neural inhibitors, uncoupling proteins, and apostat function in humans is yet to be revealed. However, individuals who cannot gain weight and struggle to hold on to what they have when exposed to physical or mental stress display anorexic behavior patterns regarding the consumption of food. This behavior provides clues as to why. Certainly, UCPs, the brain and nervous system, are behind the biochemical throttle responsible for revving up the metabolic rate into a catabolic state. Hard gainers tend to put a low to nil priority on food, convert a higher percentage of food matter into heat, and are often sinewy and wiry in appearance. They are sometimes viewed as nervous or hyper people that fidget constantly. We should also keep in mind that an underweight condition can negatively affect performance and often lower self-esteem. Thin, wiry individuals with a linear appearance that reveals no bulges of muscle along the frame possess many type A personality traits. They often suffer from anxiety and nervous system related problems and are prone to neurological trauma. So, how can a hard gainer increase his or her lean body mass? Well, here's 12 things I've discovered that can be very helpful. Number one, increase food intake. Very simple, supply the demand. Two, sedate the mind and nervous system. Three, create a growth impulse through resistance training. Four, modify aerobic activity and minimize unnecessary fuel expenditure. Five, reduce or eliminate intake of empty carbohydrates and damaged fats. Six, consume slow-burning, low-glycemic energy, dense fuel. 7. Maintain a positive nitrogen balance. Eat protein throughout the day and make sure that you're eating high-quality protein. 8, decrease catabolism and thermogenesis with dietary supplements. 9, stimulate the appetite. 10, improve sleep habits. 11, avoid stimulants. And finally, 12, consume liberal amounts of clean fats and oils. Energy expenditure is an important concern here. Physical activity should be minimized as burning fuel in volume will quickly deplete what reserves, if any, are available in the body of an ectomorph. Workouts should be brief and intense. Forcing down thousands of extra calories usually doesn't do anything except leave the athlete with a bloated feeling. Meals should be planned in advance and eaten according to a preset time schedule. Initial habits must be forced until they become routine. So you don't go by how you feel, you go by what you're supposed to do based on the logic of gaining lean mass and size, because that's your objective if that's what you really want. Ectomorphs can often work right through the day without eating, and although it's important not to force food down, muscle cannot be synthesized from thin air. Training for strength and mass should help improve the appetite and create a desire for nourishment. But if it doesn't, suspect zinc or B12 deficiency. In essence, no one should eat unless they are hungry, as the body prepares for the ingestion of food by secreting enzymes into the GI tract to ensure proper digestion and assimilation. Eating in the absence of true hunger often leads to digestive problems, fatigue, and diminished motivation. However, emotional overeating is not the same as making yourself eat something if you're anorexic. The answer to part of this challenge lies in the amount and quality of macronutrients consumed daily. Macronutrients are carbs, fats, and proteins. If the ectomorphic athlete can take in sufficient calories, turn his or her catabolic drive down, and start converting energy transferred from food into living tissue, quality muscle mass will be gained along with essential structural body fat. Now let's review some basic hard gainer guidelines. Number one, training. Train every second or third day using relatively heavy weights with a low to moderate rep range. Train anaerobically. Take plenty of rest time between sets. Train progressively and add weight whenever possible. Focus on compound exercises. Don't waste time on isolation movements or any exercise that doesn't allow you to use a significant amount of weight. Weight training is the anchor of mass control. It is the foundation. Nothing else will stimulate the biological impetus required to increase the size of skeletal muscle fibers. Progressive resistance training is the only method known to facilitate growth of lean mass, and with adequate rest and the right nutrition, changes in muscle dimension are inevitable. But you've got to be patient, and that's hard for most ectomorphs. 2. Minimize aerobic activity. Avoid aerobic activity and exercise in excess of 12 minutes per session. Train harder, but not longer. Interval training is best, pace walking for 3 minutes combined with, say, 30-second sprints. With a metabolism that functions like a rocket, endurance-type cardio in volume will make it impossible to gain mass. Don't do cardio before you train with weights. Do a light warm-up and then do your cardio after, because it's important to have good cardiovascular health for health. But understand that you can burn yourself out and you're never going to gain size if you're an ectomorph if you do too much cardio. The decision has to be made to let go of work, sport, or any activity that compromises the objective of adding mass, if that's what you really want. Hard gainers have very little reserve energy to spare, and all body energy should be directed towards one specific end, the accretion of mass. Energy should be conserved at all times except when required to facilitate growth. 3. Eat 6 meals a day. Consume a minimum of 6 meals per day with emphasis on high quality protein and whole natural carbohydrate dense starches like brown rice, squash, lentils, black bread, potatoes, dates, figs, and yams. heavy, concentrated sources of high-dense carbs that burn evenly and slowly. Each meal should include some raw food, including fresh fruit in the morning, or greens and raw vegetables at lunch and dinner. We've got to keep you well through the process, and so you've got to eat real, natural, whole food. Don't just think in terms of mass and size. Think in terms of size and health. Calculate protein requirements in grams based on lean mass and drink plenty of water. Daily protein intake shouldn't be less than 2 to 3 grams per kilogram of lean mass. And you've got to calculate this thing out. That's very important. That's one of the most important principles because you've got to maintain a positive nitrogen balance. 4, don't junk out. Avoid homogenized milk and junk food. Consume plain yogurt with active cultures, European white cheeses, raw nuts, unsalted peanuts in the shell with the skins, seeds, and dried fruit for snacks. Instead of water, you can use soy milk or goat's milk as a base for protein shakes. Always add a tablespoon of flax or hemp seed oil to every protein shake. Try adding some almond butter. That's very dense, high in fat, but you've got a tolerance for it, and it's alkaline forming. Ectomorphs definitely have a high tolerance for fat, which is a concentrated source of pure energy, so you got to make sure that that energy is clean and burns well in the system. Don't be afraid of saturated animal fat or things like olive oil, provided they are not damaged by heat, light, and oxygen. So don't eat fat that's ruined and damaged. Make sure that it's clean, whole, and in its natural state so your body can utilize it biochemically. Ground flax as a meal is a great concentrated slow burner. You can add that to porridge or put that in your shakes. Try some halva, which is a super dense, delicious mix of sesame seed paste and honey, or hummus, which is like a dipping paste blended from olive oil, garbanzo beans, garlic, and lemon juice. This is something that the endomorphs certainly don't need to eat a lot of because it'll fatten them up overnight. But an ectomorph is somebody who's lean, struggles with holding on to mass, and they need a dense source of fuel and nutrition. 5, eat low glycemic carbs. Avoid foods that jack blood sugar through the roof like sugar, white flour, white rice, and so on. Avoid stimulants, including thermogenic supplements, black tea, coffee, and cigarettes. The last thing you want to do is raise your metabolic rate. It's already too high. Based on my personal observation, a high percentage of ectomorphs smoke tobacco, the effects of which are surprisingly calming, but only in the short term. Long-term tobacco smoking creates nicotine dependency and increases heart rate, increases adrenaline levels, decreases oxygen supply to cells, decreases appetite, leads to adrenal exhaustion, and causes significant chemically induced oxidative damage. So the outcome is certainly more negative than positive. 6, take the right supplements. Try adding a tablespoon or two of lecithin granules to oatmeal or protein shakes. Consider calcium, magnesium, niacin, B-complex, inositol, melatonin, GABA, glycine, 5-HTP, tryptophan, and the branched-chain amino acids. Emphasize supplements known for their anti-catabolic effects, such as acetyl-L-carnitine, HMB, CLA, vitamin C, ginkgo biloba, and phosphatidylserine. Now, there's a good one, PS. Take supplements with 2 to 4 protein shakes per day. Use whey protein isolate as a staple in conjunction with tissue proteins such as fish, beef, lamb, chicken, turkey, eggs, and so on. And finally, 7, learn to relax. Avoid prolonged emotional stress. Practice meditation or relaxation techniques. Take a nap in the afternoon. Get 8 to 9 hours of undisturbed sleep every night. Try calcium loading an hour before bedtime. Consider 5-HTP, tryptophan, or melatonin. Use sedative herbs to calm you down, like passion flower, skullcap, hops, valerian, kava kava, things like that. If your mind is hyperactive and you can't sleep as an ectomorph or relax, you will never, ever gain any mass as an ectomorph. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening. And here's a quote from Leonardo da Vinci on remedies. You know that medicines, when used well, restore health to the sick. And they are used well when the doctor, together with his understanding of their nature, understands what man is, what life is, and what constitution and health are. Know these well, and you will know their opposites. And when this is the case, you will know well how to devise a remedy.